The Abrahamic family house, a shared space housing a mosque, a synagogue, and a church in Abu Dhabi, recently opened. And it's another sign that interreligious dialogue is transformed into religious indifference. Let's talk about the problems of this project from a Catholic perspective. Hello, I'm Eric Sims, your host and editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. Before we get started, I just want to encourage people to like and subscribe. Smash that like button, subscribe to the channel, let other people know about what we are doing here. Okay, sorry, I'm having a few technical problems here, so if I'm a little bit disjointed, I apologize. Right before we went live, my mouse kind of gave out, and I have a backup mouse that's acting a little flaky here. Oh, there's the little like and subscribe image I was trying to put up on the screen. How about that? Okay, anyway, so let's go ahead and get started. So actually, before I get started, boy, I'm just hitting all cylinders here this morning. You can probably tell from my voice, I've recovering from a cold, and so I sound a little creaky as well. So we're going to get through it, though, hopefully. Before I get started, though, I just want to note my mug today is very nice. If you can see, if you're listening, you'll just have to believe me. It says Glad Trad. It's from gladtrad.com. Our friends from the student group, the Traditional Latin Mass student group at Franciscan University of Steubenville. So they sent me this mug, and I said I would put it on the podcast. And so there it is, gladtrad.com. Okay, so now the Abrahamic family house. What this is, I think I can pull up a picture here. I have a picture. Yeah, here we go. If I can get my mouse to work here. Well, maybe not. Oh, there we go. Okay, so if you're listening, I'll describe it. But if you're watching, you can see. Basically, it's three buildings. I think there's also an educational center at this Abrahamic family house. But there's three buildings that look very similar, and that's important. They're basically big boxes is what they look like with different outsides, but they're all like vertical, basically up and down each of them. And what it is, it's a mosque, a church, and a synagogue. And this is in Abu Dhabi, which is in the United Arab Emirates. And essentially what this project is, it's a result of the document that was signed back in 2019, that was co-authored, I should say, by Pope Francis and a sheikh. It's a sheikh, Ahmed Al-Tayeb, who's the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar. And so this was a big deal when it came out. And I think most of us probably have heard of this document. A lot of times it's called just the Abu Dhabi Declaration because it came out in Abu Dhabi, which is where this is as well. And it was called a Document on Human Fraternity for World Peace and Living Together. So if we want to understand this Abrahamic family house, we need to understand this document. Now, essentially, as you can tell from the title, A Document on Human Fraternity for World Peace and Living Together. It was a joint declaration by the Pope and by an imam, a Muslim imam, that basically affirm the idea of religions working together in human fraternity for world peace. And this is not something new within Catholicism since the 1960s. I document a lot of this in my book, Deadly Indifference. How the church lost her mission, how we reclaim it, that essentially interreligious dialogue since the 1960s, particularly with Islam, has been geared towards world peace. How can we work together? I mean, it's not a bad goal, the idea of world peace. The problem, of course, is that world peace without peace within ourselves is impossible, and peace within ourselves only happens through Jesus Christ. So ultimately, trying to have some type of human level of world peace is impossible. But I understand that the sentiments, and they're not necessarily bad, that we want to reduce wars. Yes, that's great. And have more peace. Now, what's interesting, the thing about this document, this 2019 document, though, which is the basis, like I said, for the Abrahamic family house, is it has a lot, it has a number of real problems in it, particularly for something that's co-authored by a pope. And I document again in my book, Deadly Indifference, some of these problems. I'm going to have an article tomorrow that talks about this a little bit. But I mean, early on in the declaration, it says, in the name of God, we declare the adoption of a culture of dialogue as the path, mutual cooperation as the code of conduct, reciprocal understanding as a method and standard. Now, that people might miss the problem with that, but it says, in the name of God, we declare. There's a problem there, though, because if a Catholic and a Muslim jointly declare something in the name of God, you're assuming two things. First, that you have the same God, which I know this is a very debatable point. Vatican II does suggest that we worship the same God. And most Catholics today believe we worship the same God. I would disagree with that, but I'm even willing to set that part aside for a second. The problem is, in the name of God, we declare. Well, that assumes that Catholics and Muslims have the same name for God. But of course, we don't. That's explicit. Our name for God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I mean, Jesus himself says that when we baptize, you baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And needless to say, for Muslim, they would not say the name of God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They would think that would be blasphemous, heretical. And so we can't actually speak jointly in the name of God because we have very different names for God. And so therefore, right there from the start of this document, we see a real problem in melding these two religions together into one when really they are not. Another problem with the document is it talks about religion in a very generic sense. It talks about religion being something that is, we have to foster religious values in order to have world peace, and we have to avoid religious extremism to have world peace. And this falls into the secular error of thinking all religions are basically part of this general group of religion. And that's really problematic because there's one true religion, that's Catholicism, and every other religion is false. Now, it might have, these other false religions might have truths within them. For example, Protestantism, most of them would acknowledge the Trinity, which is true, but it's still a false religion. And grouping religion together as one entity really is a problem because if you talk about religious values, what values are you talking about? For example, the values of Christianity towards women or the values of Islam towards women. When you talk about religious extremism, what religion are you talking about? The extremism of Catholicism, such as you would find in a Mother Teresa, or the extremism of Islam that you find somebody like Osama bin Laden. And so when they generically talk about religious values or religious extremism, they're lumping all religions together. They're making it so it doesn't matter what religion is, they all are are essentially the same in what they are espousing. And so that obviously from a Catholic's perspective is very problematic. And then of course the Abu Dhabi Declaration is infamous for where it says in there that the plurality of religions is willed by God. Now it has some other things that are willed by God. And I detail this in my book, Deadly Indifference. And I've written about this before. Others have written about this. That's a real problem in that language because you could talk about the permissive will of God, allowing a plurality of religions, and that would be true. But in the same sentence, they talk about things like sex, like male and female, being willed by God. And that's obviously not the permissive will of God. That's the active will of God. So this document is very troubling. And so the idea of a project being based upon this, the Abrahamic family house being based upon this very bad document, shows it has an awful basis, an awful foundation. Now, like I said, I'm going to pull up the image again of this Abrahamic family house. And we see a mosque, a synagogue, and a church. Now, I think most people who would see these three images, these three buildings, would have no idea which one is which. And I think that's intentional. I'm sure there's meaning behind what they chose when they chose the outward, but they all look very similar to each other. And that's the intention. They want them to be similar. Now, the church is, let me just see if I can pull up this. Yeah, the church, here's an image of the church. It's the one with just the up and down pillars on the outside. And the church is, it's awful looking. I'll pull up the outside does not look like a church at all. The inside, here is an image of the inside for people who can't see it. It just, frankly, it doesn't look that much different from a lot of churches that are created now. But there's nothing really Christian about it. There's nothing Catholic about it. I believe there is a cross in the back. I'm not 100% sure if it's a crucifix or not. Because the initial images that were made of it before it was built showed just a cross without a crucifix, without the corpus on it. On this image, you can't really see it, but there might be a corpus on it. I'm not sure. And I think that's interesting because, of course, in Islam, you can't have images of people. So they would not want to have an image of the corpus of Jesus Christ in this that might offend Islam. And really, that's what you can see here. Remember, where it's based is Abu Dhabi, which is a Muslim country, is in a Muslim country. And so they're not going to put up anything that would be offensive to Islam. I think that's something to note here, is that they're going to be very careful about that. I mean, this looks almost like the Fortress of Solitude from Superman movies. I mean, that's the thing it reminds me of first. And it just really is horrendous and awful looking. And there's this weird thing at the top of the, and I'll put up this image too. I'm not even sure what this is, but it almost looks like icicles hanging down. I mean, they're dark, they're brown, but I'm not even sure what it is, stalactites or stalagmites, whichever one it is, from the top. And if you go to the website of the of this, I'll pull up the website here, and it basically, the architecture of it, I'm going to read the description because I think it's interesting too. There's three houses of worship. They're all developed by the same man, who I do not believe is Christian. I'm not 100% sure about that, but he developed all three. Again, they're very similar. And the church is described, now, okay, here's, I got to get to the aside here. They name it His Holiness Francis Church. That's what it's called on the website. You can see, I pull it up on the screen here. That's what's called His Holiness Francis Church. And that's what their Twitter account calls it. But then it says the church is dedicated to St. Francis of Assisi, a 13th century monk who dedicated himself to a life of radical poverty. Well, I'm going to have to mention something about St. Francis of Assisi here in a minute that would be very much against. He would want to tear down this church. But calling it His Holiness Francis Church is very confusing because for Catholics, His Holiness refers to the Pope. And we happen to have a Pope whose name is Francis, who is the author of the document that started this, that basically is the foundation of this Abrahamic family house, and so this church. And so it seems like they're almost intentionally naming it after Pope Francis, which, of course, Catholics would never or should never name any structure after a living person, because we don't believe somebody is a model to be followed in the sense of persevering to the end until they've died, of course. So, okay, I'll bring up St. Francis of Assisi again in a minute, but it continues and says, the church faces the direction of the rising sun, which is the east. Great. It actually faces the east. Most Catholic churches don't do that anymore, so nice. But then it says, as light is considered symbolic of divinity, that is not why Catholic churches face to the east. It's not because light is considered a symbolic of divinity. It's because we believe that Jesus Christ, the only Savior of the world, will return from the east, because that's what the scripture says. The Lord will return from the east. And it also says, its forest of columns is oriented in this direction to maximize the eastern light and emphasizes verticality to express the concepts of incarnation or descent and resurrection or ascent that are central to the Christian faith. All very nice and inoffensive. We don't want to do any, you wouldn't want to have a big crucifix, for example, outside or scenes of the saints. And so it just, you know, clearly this church has a lot of problems aside from just the fact that it's horrific looking. And so I think really what we're seeing here is interreligious dialogue taken to its logical conclusion, so to speak, which is at this point religious indifference, which is the idea that all religions are essentially equal, that there's not much difference. Now, you will hear argued by Catholics, even good Catholics, Orthodox Catholics, not people who would necessarily be on board with this. They say, well, it is three separate churches. It's not like, for example, you could have a town in which, I'm sorry, three separate buildings. You could have a town which has a mosque, a synagogue, and a church all in the same block, and you're not going to say something's awful about that, correct? No. However, this was intentional, and it was done to skirt the issue of the message that they're trying to send, which is that all religions are equal, or at least these three religions are equal in authority. They're equal in dignity, but that's not what the Catholic Church teaches. And so it's very similar, frankly, to the message that was sent by the Assisi prayer meeting back in 1986 by Pope John Paul II, in which Pope John Paul II was a stickler to make sure that it was clear that they were not praying together, meaning they were not in the, you know, praying at the same time together, united. Instead, they were, he said, they were not praying together. Instead, together they prayed, or something like that. I can't remember the exact wording he used. Like, each was praying in his own tradition in the same location, but however, they're not praying together, like joined together to the same God, or in the same way. And he was very much a stickler for that. However, regardless of his intentions, which I personally do think JP2's intentions were good, I think ultimately they sent the message to the vast majority of people that they were praying together, and that the religions were essentially on the same level, that Catholicism was here, and so was Islam, and so was Judaism, and so were all the other religions that were invited. And so likewise, this Abrahamic family house does the exact same thing. It puts them all on the same level in the minds of the people who are looking at it. Yes, you could maybe argue, okay, they're just different. They're different buildings. They're not praying together, whatever the case may be. The fact is, though, people see this and they think, okay, these three religions are equal. There's nothing different about them. And that's a real problem. In fact, I'm going to show you a video that like a promotional video that they did for this. And what's interesting about this video is that, and by the way, if you're watching, if you're listening to this and not watching it, it's just going to be some music, so you can skip ahead a minute. That's how long the video is. But I want people to see this and tell me it, and I'll describe it a little bit for those who are listening. Tell me it's not sending the message that all three are equal. There's these three kids. One's obviously Muslim, one is Jewish, one is Christian. And they're having fun together, which is people of various religions hanging out, Catholics, Muslims, Jews. They're each speaking. Now they're coming together in a shared space. Now each one of the kids holds a light in a square box that looks a lot like those buildings that they created. And these three children go up with their lights. Now they're holding them up together on a raised platform together. And that's how it ends. So, I mean, how is that not basically saying we're all equal, that these three religions are the same? That's exactly what it's saying. And I don't think anybody can kind of dispute that that's the message they're trying to send. And so what we see is, why do I beat this drum so much? Why I have such a problem with this? Because it really is contrary to what the Catholic Church has historically believed and practiced for 2,000 years. What started as a dialogue for world peace, which, again, the people who started this, I'm not doubting their sincere motives or their desire to do the right thing or whatever the case may be. The fact is, though, over time is more and more into indifferentism, is transformed into this idea that all religions are equal, and they're saying we have to respect them to the point of treating them all the same. The extreme example in recent years is the Pachamama incident, where you have this pagan idolatrous religion that's placed in the forefront at the Vatican itself. Imagine for a minute what a Saint Boniface would have said to this. I mean, he literally chopped down a sacred tree of the pagans in his efforts of evangelization. I also want to bring up St. Francis of Assisi. After all, they claim that church is named after him, even though it's the weird name of His Holiness Francis Church. The first martyrs of the Franciscan order were this group of, I think it was four or five men, Franciscans, who they basically went into Islamic territory. They would go into a mosque and they would preach the gospel. They would interrupt the services in the mosque and they would preach the gospel. They would condemn Islam explicitly. And they did this and they got arrested. They got kicked out of town. They went back. They did it again. And they kept doing it until they were killed. They were martyred by the Islamic authorities. Now, this was during the life of St. Francis of Assisi himself. So we know exactly what he thought about it. We know his thoughts on these proto-martyrs. He said, these are true Franciscans. That's what St. Francis thought about somebody who would go into a mosque, preach the gospel, and condemn Islam in the middle of an Islamic service. St. Francis of Assisi, whom this church is supposedly named after, said that was a true Franciscan. So what St. Francis would want, in other words, at the Abrahamic family house, he want Catholics to enter into that mosque and start preaching the gospel, which I guarantee you would not be allowed and would probably get you in a lot of trouble. And so you can see the difference. Now, I understand that we use development of doctrine to cover all of our modern sins. Oh, things are different now. We've developed past this. But the fact is that development of doctrine never allows contradictory things to both be held, to say, okay, what we held before, now the opposite is held today. And frankly, in practice and in belief even, but particularly in practice, that's exactly what's happened here. In previous generations, Catholics would preach the gospel. They would note that other religions are false and that Catholicism is the one true faith. Now we're not allowed to say that. And in fact, we're literally building monuments to other religions, or at least we're involved in it. I'm not 100% sure who paid for this. It might have been the government in the United Arab Emirates. But I know the fact is that the Catholic Church has endorsed it. They've endorsed the building of a mosque and a synagogue, shared space with this church. Oh, I also forgot to mention another thing about this church. This church, it's not clear if it's a Catholic church because it's called His Holiness Francis Church, which makes it sound Catholic on some level. But it says it's open to all Christian denominations. So in other words, non-Catholic Christian denominations can have worship services in this building, as I understand it. And so Catholic churches shouldn't do that. I know some do. So I'm not even 100% sure what kind of church it is, if it's a Catholic church completely, if it's a non-denominational building. I don't even know. But clearly the Catholic hierarchy, the Vatican has endorsed it. So there's another issue of religious indifference where we don't see any difference between Catholicism and, for example, Protestantism. And so what is the path forward? A couple of weeks ago when I was talking about how the Catholic Church has declined so precipitously in the West in particular, and also worldwide in a lot of ways, I talked about how one of the reasons is because the Catholic Church has not been countercultural. We've gone along with the culture, the surrounding secular culture, and we've allowed it to kind of determine how we say things, how we do things. And I was saying we need to be countercultural, distinguish ourselves from the culture. Well, the same thing is true when it comes to ecumenical and interreligious dialogue, not just with the secular culture, but with other religions. We need to distinguish ourselves. We need to make it clear exactly how the Catholic Church is different. Now, in the 60s, there was a, like I said, probably well-intentioned idea of let's see how we're the same as other religions. And there is a benefit to that in certain situations. To say, okay, there are similarities between Catholicism and Protestantism, for example, and even between Catholicism and Islam or Judaism. However, the fact is today, most people lump all religions together as kind of a general same blob, and there's not, they don't really know how to distinguish them. Therefore, as Catholics, we need to distinguish what makes us distinct from Protestantism, from Eastern Orthodoxy, from Judaism, from Islam, from Buddhism, whatever the case may be. We need to emphasize that difference. That's what our Catholic leaders should be doing. Lay people, obviously, but our priests and our bishops and the Pope, saying, how are we different? Not just always how we are the same. They act like if they say something like, Catholicism believes this and it condemns this teaching of Islam, that all of a sudden the next step is a holy war in which we're killing each other. But that's ridiculous. It doesn't, one doesn't follow from the other. People can have disagreements all the time. It doesn't have to lead to killing each other over it. So what we really need to do as Catholics, we need to emphasize, okay, how are we distinguished? For example, we believe in the Holy Trinity, that God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and that this matters. And Islam rejects it. They believe in a single God, but they reject the Trinity. Their God is alone. Their God needs servants. Our God is a family. It is always together. It is love. God is love, as St. John tells us in the first letter of St. John in the Bible. And to have love, you have to have three aspects, so to speak. You have to have the lover, the beloved, and the love between them. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's what you have to have to have love. And so we need to distinguish things like this. Talk about why Christianity, why Catholicism in particular, is different. And also, why Islam is wrong. Why there are false teachings in Islam. And why also Judaism is wrong in the sense that it's not the, we are the fulfillment of true Judaism, of the Old Testament Judaism. And so it is an unfulfilled religion. The fulfillment of it is Catholicism. These are things we need to be able to say and be very clear about. It doesn't be uncharitable. Like, nothing I've said here is uncharitable, because whenever you state the truth, it's not uncharitable. I didn't say all Muslims are idiots or something stupid like that. No, I mean, they were very bright. I didn't say that they can't be charitable towards others. They can't do good things or anything like that. No, what I'm saying, though, is the religion they follow is false. And if they want the fullness, all the good that they can find in Islam can be found in spades and more in Catholicism. These are the things that our Catholic leaders should be saying, not building joint houses with those who are following false religions, because what it does, it tells people all religions are the same. And you know what that does? It makes people believe that all religions are worthless. Because if they're all the same, but they teach different things, it doesn't really matter what they teach. Isn't that the lesson they're giving? And with the decline, the precipitous decline in all religions, particularly in America over the past 20, 30 years, this message that we're all the same, all religions the same, all it does is continue to undermine the cause of the true religion. Because think about it. If I say, for example, all these different, let's just say all sports are the same. It doesn't really matter. The differences between them don't really matter. All that matters is that they're all sports and they're all the same. That's really not going to get anybody enthusiastic about any particular sport, is it? They're not going to be like, oh, I'm really going to be a big baseball fan now, or I'm going to be a really big football fan or something like that. No, they're just going to be like, well, I guess they're all just, it doesn't really matter very much then between them. That's even more so for religion. And so we really need to work on distinguishing Catholicism, saying this is the one true religion. This is the one that matters. This is the one God intends you to be in. I think if we do that, then we're more likely to really be able to spread the gospel, spread the message of Jesus Christ, and follow Jesus Christ and what he wants for our life. And that's going to bring us happiness, peace, and joy, and all the things that God promises to his followers. Okay, so I titled this podcast, The Abrahamic Family House Abomination, and I do believe it's an abomination. I use that word specifically because I think an abomination is something that is contrary to the will of God, that it's a way in which we dishonor his name. And I think this project in Abu Dhabi dishonors God's name. And so I think it should be rejected by Catholics and condemned by them. Okay, everybody, that's it for now. Until next time, God love you.